You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
All right, so who do we have in the studio with us today?
Hey, do you want me to introduce myself?
Yes, please.
Okay, so, you know, I thought you were asking, like, who is this? So my name is James Rocker, and I'm a comedian and theatre maker, I guess, and writer from here, now Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Awesome.
But I'm Filipino as well, so that's my background. I live in Canada now, so I live in Toronto, and there I always have to preface it. I'm like, so I'm Filipino, but I'm from New Zealand. That's why I sound like this. Like, the context changes when I'm here. And, like, I don't have to explain that I'm from New Zealand here because you guys just know, you know? But there, when they're like, oh, why do you look and sound like that? Like, because... It's like a really rare combination to get this face and accent, apparently, like over there in Canada. They can't make sense of it, you know, so.
That's crazy. Because when I went over to Canada, like, it was, they were just used to it. Because I went to Banff and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's heaps of Kiwis there.
Yeah.
Yeah. that'd be it. I think if you go to Banff or Whistler, everyone's like, well, actually, people assume that I'm Australian. They're like, are you from Australia? And I'm like, don't say that ever again.
So how's the comedy scene over in Canada compared to how it is here in New Zealand?
Yeah, it's good, man. So I live in Toronto, and Toronto has a really thriving stand-up scene. You can gig multiple times a night there. I always say New Zealand is the best place to start doing stand-up because we have such a small scene, so it's easy to get quality stage time. And so you can get good faster. And then you can get good here and then go overseas, and like then you can kind of show the world that, hey, this is what I learned in the scene. Because I feel like you only get good doing stand-up by going on stage and doing it. And you need a good quality stage time to perform and to learn and get better. And if you're only ever doing like gigs to five people at a pub and they're all sitting there and they hate you like this, like, you're never going to get better just doing that. And so here in New Zealand, you can start in a room of 100 people who have paid money and are excited to see you. Whereas, you know, when you start in a big city like Toronto or New York or LA, you start in the saddest open mic you've ever been to, where there's like 20 people on the lineup. There's like 15 white dudes just talking about how much they hate their girlfriend. And then you have to go up, you know, and everyone's tired. It's 2 a.m. And so that's not quality stage time. But here in New Zealand, you get a ton of it. So I guess that's the biggest difference of the two scenes.
And now onto the main topic of the interview today. So across the next, I believe, month, you're going to be playing in 4 cities in Aotearoa and in Australia for your Champorado tour.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about what audiences have in store if they are going to be catching you during this tour?
So the first thing everyone always asks is it going to be Champorado at the show? Which, if you don't know, do you know what Champorado is?
Oh, in the month.
Also, yeah, well, I don't know, man. Sometimes I've seen this on Pinoy's and they're like, I've never had it. I was like,
I think there's just different names for it in the Philippines. It's wherever you're
from.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
What are the other word names for it?
Like in Bicol, we call it like, it's something to do with milk. I don't even speak Bicolano anymore. It has something to do with milk and chocolate.
But it's still like the same dish, like a chocolate rice.
Not exactly.
Okay.
It feels more yogurty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like not as chocolatey and ricey, puddingy.
It's more like...
Are you describing a different dish?
No. It's literally the same dish, but made in a certain way because some regions in the Philippines make it a certain way.
Yeah, and I know they put different toppings and stuff on it too.
Yeah, that's
a thing. Yeah. So Champorado is like, in general anyway, it's like a chocolate rice dish that people have for breakfast in the Philippines. And the first question people always ask when they see the title is like, are you going to be serving Champorado at the show? And I'm like, that's the most Filipino question. Is there going to be food there? Do I get bat on after? So no, unfortunately they won't. But what they can expect is the show is about 2 years ago when I'd moved to Toronto, I was having breakfast. I was eating a bowl of Champorado one morning and I got a message from my mum that kind of made me stop and reevaluate everything about my life. And it was like kind of like a life halting message. Basically, she told me that my dad had an illness that was treatable, but at the same time, a very serious illness. And so it kind of forced me to reevaluate. And I just looked down at the bowl of Champorado and that started a chain reaction of events that just made me reevaluate what's important to me right now. And I think now I'm 34 now, and so I'm getting to an age where I'm like just reevaluating what I should actually care about and what should I put my time into and prioritize in life, you know. And so it was a very timely message, and it all just kind of lined up. And I know this sounds super serious. Whenever I say this, everyone's like, so you're doing a TED talk? No. I still do jokes in the show. It's still very silly, but this is the kind of the heart of the show and why it's called that. But yeah, so that's the kind of journey of the hour. And sprinkled amongst that is like jokes about being Filipino and jokes about why I get so many sponsored ads for Viagra. Like, what's good?
What?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
What?
Do you guys get this?
No,
bro.
I think Viagra is like that drug that no one talks about in New Zealand.
I know, right? And it's weird because I don't know. Anyway, I do material about it. Like, how I keep getting these ads on social media. And I'm like, what am I looking at on the internet? Facebook's like, here, you want this, right? I'm like, what?
Yeah. I'm so gagged right now. Like, that is the first time I've ever seen or heard that an ad like that exists.
Well, actually, it might be different. It might be because...
Did you get it here?
No. So it might be because I think legally, maybe in New Zealand, you can't advertise it. Because I know that in Canada, I'll occasionally get the same... So the same companies will advertise like Ozempic and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think actually maybe the laws in New Zealand say you can't advertise it here. So maybe people won't get it here. But yeah, no, that's true. In Canada, I just keep getting ads for it. And I'm like, what the heck am I looking at? Canadians, what's my algorithm up to? You know what I mean?
Are Canadians just taking lots of Viagra?
Potentially, maybe. But I know there's some legalities around advertising that sort of stuff in New Zealand, maybe. On one side of it, it's like the serious thing about my life, what's important, my dad's sick, you know. And on the other side, it's just like, why am I getting these dick pills? What's going on here? The best way to get people to reflect and think is by making them laugh and making them feel at ease, you know, and not being so serious all the time. And so being able to laugh and be serious are like two sides of the same coin, I think.
So I guess the next question, maybe I could direct it to both of you as Filipinos, but is like champurrado like a dish that's quite significant or like quite common in like every Filipino household?
Champurrado to me is like what every Filipino gets for breakfast whenever you have to go to school. Because for me, it's such a comfort food, especially when I'm sick. I know the saying where you shouldn't be drinking milk or having any dairy when you're sick because it kind of clogs your indigestion and you feel very clogged.
Yeah, it makes your mucus thick, I think,
Yeah. And so I don't care. I have no shame. I would always have it when I'm sick because it's just a comfort food. And I guess it symbolizes like a memory from when I was younger because it was just there, you know. It was just like accessible as possible because I don't think most people in the Philippines had access to it because of how we grew up. But for me, my family would always be able to make it no matter what the cost was.
Yeah, it's a dish that there's not that many ingredients in the actual dish. So similar to like chicken adobo, where it's like this is the dish you make when you just have stuff in the pantry and you just need to whip stuff up. And so yeah, I'm the same. Like I grew up with my parents making it for me all the time, and so for me, and I'm sure a lot of Filipinos, it signifies comfort and it symbolizes affection and love from your parents. It's a breakfast dessert congee, you know, like lugaw is what we call it in the Philippines, or
adaskaldo.
So like there's different versions, but it's a chocolate dessert breakfast version of that, which again, and on the flip side of it for me as well is champurrado symbolizes how wonderfully weird Filipinos are. In the best way. And I mean this as a compliment. We are like so creative and unapologetically just thinking outside of the box and weird. Because and I say this in the show, I'm not going to say what the topping is because it's a spoiler. It's a part of the show. So for anyone listening, I don't want to spoil it. But the toppings that we put on champurrado will blow your mind. Like you would not. Mm. And so,
Yeah.
Because Filipinos, we have obsessions with sweet and savory and salty and mixing them together. And so like, I don't know if you've ever had Filipino spaghetti before, but it's like...
I have had it at like Jollibee.
You've had Jollibee. So it's sweet, right? It's like, you know, like it'll make like Italian grandmas turn in their grave, bro, if they knew how sweet our spaghetti was. But we love just sweet and savory. And I love that about the culture. Like there's always so many little aspects about it that I'm just like, I don't realize how weird they are until I step back and I'm like, that's so weird. But I love that, you know? And it's just, we don't really care. Also, as a kid, it would be one of those things where, you know, as a migrant, there's always so much pressure on you to like fit in and to assimilate and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, when you're a kid, you're always so like, oh, man, like I'd be shy telling my school friends, my white friends about it, because I'd be like, oh, I don't want them to think I'm weird. But now I'm like, nah, screw that. It's beautiful. It's weird and it's great. And it's so dope, you know? Yeah. And so for me, it symbolizes all of that. It's like comfort. It's unapologetically being creative and weird. And yeah, it's a wonderful dish. And it really means a lot to me. So it's so cool that I got to make the show. And when you watch the show, you also know that you'll learn that it has another layer to my family that connects us even more.
I was just going to ask this as a side note. Do you know how to make champurrado in a certain way?
Hell yeah. What do you mean by a certain way?
Like
upside down. Can you make it underwater? Like what?
No, I was going to... that's crazy. I was going to say, do you put the rice in first with the chocolate powder, or do you wait until the rice has settled and then put the chocolate powder?
Yeah, I do the sticky glutinous rice first, and then I let that cook. And then once the water gets all cloudy and stuff, and it's like kind of already a porridge, then the chocolate goes in. So whether it's cocoa powder or, because you can also get those tablet, you know, the little tablety things or that. But yeah, mostly it's cocoa powder if you're here, because it's hard to find the other stuff. If I find a recipe online, it's like serves 12. And I'm like, cool, I just have like this giant pot of like Senegal now. What am I like? So I like, I just like freeze it, but I'm like, it's hard to make just Filipino food for one or for two, because every recipe is like for your entire village. Like, yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. While we're still on the topic of Filipino food, and I guess this could be for a question for both of you as well, but I think 2 years ago you were doing a set at a festival in Australia where you made a joke about some contestants on Fear Factory being made to try balut. So I just wanted to ask, like, how do Filipinos feel about balut sort of being this like shocking food to like, you know, the rest of the world, you know? Is it like as taboo as, you know, people outside the Philippines make it down?
It's so funny. So it's like two parts, this answer for me. The first part is like, so I grew up eating balut, right? Like that was just like, I used to like eat it, not a big deal, it's just food. I'd open it, you'd suck the juice out, you'd be like that, right? And it was great, I loved it. And then I say this in the show, so this was in my show 3 shows ago called Boy Mestizo, which I recorded as a special as well. That's probably where you saw that clip. But I say this in the show is I used to eat it as a kid and it wasn't a big deal. And then I tried it again like recently, now that I've grown up in New Zealand, and I didn't realize how like kind of westernized my stomach became, because I wasn't expecting to be gagging when I saw it, but then I opened it and I caught a whiff and I was like, bro, what? How could I remember eating this a lot and now it's like hard to eat, bro. Like when you don't have it for a long time and you know, your palate kind of gets used to like a westernized like other stuff, like it's like quite intense now. Yeah. So I had it recently, and yeah, I don't know if I'd say like I'm not like gagging to be like, oh, I'm craving balut today, like it's but on the other part of the answer is I just think it's so funny though that Westerners like will take our food and it's like a challenge on a show. Like that's so funny to me. Like I'm like, the bit I do actually is the bit I used to do, the long version of the bit, and I've kind of truncated it since, is my dad, I was watching Fear Factor with him once, and it was that episode, like, where Joe Rogan did that, like, eat bullet and stuff. And he literally was like, what's the problem? Like, do you have salt? You know, like, if my dad was on Fear Factor, he'd be like, do you have, like, vinegar? Like, he would ask for vinegar. He'd be like, but this and, like, stuff, you know? So, it's so funny to me, then, when seeing, like, all these, like, white Westerners, like, trying. Looking at it and being like, oh, like it's like, bro, you just eat it, it's food, you know what I mean? But on, I guess on the flip side, now that I have a westernized like stomach and palate, like I'm like, okay, it was pretty intense, but it's so funny that people are crying, and I just know there's like every Filipino tito watching it, it's like, look at these cowards, you know, look at these pussies, like so yeah.
I was just gonna add my bit, because like I agree with all that, because as you grew up here, wherever you are in the world, you kind of get to adjust into a westernized stomach.
Yeah.
And then for me, this is my experience actually. I remember when I went back to the Philippines for the first time since moving to New Zealand, and me and my cousins were like, hey, JC, do you remember when you used to like eat the balut and you used to bow on it? And it's like, I was like, yeah. Do you want to try it again? You know what we add? We add the spiced vinegar.
Yeah.
Batis.
Yeah.
And then the randomest thing, we have like, I don't know what they added. It's like a specific sauce.
Yeah.
Mixed in with like chilies and all that. Because this is Bicolan of like people.
Of course.
We have to have extreme spices.
Yeah.
I just,
oh yeah, like, Bicol Express spicy chicken, right?
You have no idea, yeah, bro. Yeah, yeah. It's like spicy to the point where it's like, this isn't even what I used to have.
Yeah, yeah.
What you guys put in this?
Yeah.
And then like, when I tell my friends about it, it's like, you eat that? I feel so judged when I hear that sentence, and I feel like you've had that experience as well, right?
Yeah.
And I just feel so alienated when I hear the word balut, because like, I don't want to associate with that. But in the past,
yeah. It's so funny to me though, because it's like, so what, like when people are like, oh, it's like a duck fetus, I'm like, you eat a duck, you eat a grown duck, and you eat lamb, like that's baby sheep.
Yeah.
You're like, everything's weird if you think about it, you know?
Yeah.
A mince and cheese pie is ground up cow wrapped in something you made from like a product that came out of a cow's tit, you know? Like it's like, that's all a mince and cheese pie is if you break it down. So like everything's like kind of weird like that anyway. So
yeah, no, I was just gonna end it up with saying like, hey, like if you don't like it, I don't know, be vegan.
Yeah. But it's also like, just let people do that. Like, you know, why? Just because it's weird for you doesn't mean it's weird for other people. Like, if you eat beef, well, guess what? Like, people in India think you're weird, actually, because they don't eat cows. Yeah, like, you know, like, so what? Yeah. So I find it funny. I find it more funny. I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah. And if you think about it, you know, like, sunny side up eggs are basically just like balut, but like in the early stages of the chickens.
They just didn't wait as long.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Possibly the thing, please. My turn to speak. So growing up in like the Philippines, moving here, mm-hmm. how did you experience, like, I guess, did you ever like grow up with like a community, Filipino community here? Mm-hmm. And then did you adapt to finding it there in Canada? Like, can you tell me about it?
Yeah, so moving here, I moved here in 1999, right? And right. so it was just, it was kind of peaking at the moment, at that time, actually, like migration from like the Philippines and Southeast Asia and stuff. But I mean, as you know, like Filipino is like our biggest export is literally labor. It's like people, like yeah. nurses, healthcare people, right? So there was a massive wave of migration. And so we were kind of part of that in my family in the late 90s here in New Zealand. And so we did have, we had a big community here when we moved. And, you know, it was really nice to be kind of surrounded by the community when I was younger. Mm. But it kind of, it was weird because when you move as an immigrant, yeah, like I said before, there's always that pressure to kind of like get, you know, climatized or assimilate to like the culture that you move to. And so you form all these kind of like different identities, you know, that you present at home or at school or at work or whatever. And for me, it wasn't, I spent maybe all of my teenage years not really like being like separated, having those identities be separated, you know. Mm. And then it wasn't until my 20s and my late 20s and then now coming to my 30s that I'm like, oh no, all those parts of me are the same person. They should all kind of be the same. And so, you know, like I try not to code switch as much now. Like I'll speak how I speak to everyone, like, you know, like and so yeah, it's just nice. To answer your question, yes, I did have the communities there. And so when I moved to Canada, my identity isn't just I'm a Filipino moving to Canada. My identity is everything. So it's I'm a mm-hmm. Filipino, New Zealander, I'm a comedian. All those things make me who I am. Mm-hmm. And so it's really exciting to go there and like, you know, I always say in New Zealand when I'm on a lineup for a comedy show, I'm the Filipino guy on the comedy mm-hmm. show, right? That's what people remember me as. But when I moved to Canada, I realized that I'm not just the Filipino guy anymore. I'm also the Kiwi guy on the lineup, which is really cool because, you know, people love New Zealanders and people love Filipinos. So it's like a win-win for me. Like I've come from two different cultures double that people take, just like just love. Double, yeah. You know what I mean? Everyone's like, oh my God, let's... I even do a gag about it in the show. Like I literally, the other day I realized that I am now officially a Filipino, New Zealander, Canadian, which puts me in the Guinness Book of Records for nicest man in the world. Like that you can't, those three cultures, like, everyone loves them. And so, yeah. And so it's been really lovely. And there's lots of Filipinos in Canada too, which yeah. is really nice. And so I don't need to explain myself as much because I'm like, you know, I'm like, I'm from the Philippines. Here's my culture. And everyone's like, yeah, but we know that already. What else? And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I'll talk about being a New Zealander then because that's new for you. So that's really cool.
True. Because like in New Zealand right now, I notice so many Filipinos or just Southeast Asians or Asians in general struggle to fit into a box because of, again, immigration's being a bit of a yep. sensitive topic right now, and I'm noticing that. And then when I look at you, I feel like I've seen so much that you've developed yourself to be this person, and I really appreciate that, and people will look up to that because we need more people like you to, I guess like tell people like it's okay to be who you are.
Yeah,
you know.
For
and
sure.
You doing all this kind of like brings that to more people to, I guess, come out of that shell.
Yeah, I hope so. And for me, I think the most satisfying kind of audience response that I get, and I got this with my last show, Badong, which was literally about my name, Badong, which is my Filipino nickname that my family calls me. And for years, I was like ashamed of it. You know, I'd like, if my friends found out at school, my white friends found out my nickname was Badong, I'd be like, oh my God, no. I'd deny it and stuff. But then now, I'd like, you know, you go to realize, no, that's actually a really beautiful thing that you should embrace. And you should, you know, and I've got it tattooed on my thing now. That's the end wow. of that show, is because I'm like, just to remind you that, like, this is something to own and to love, you know? And so the most satisfying kind of audience response for me is when they come up to me after the show and say thank you for saying that, and thank you for, you know, talking about being an immigrant, and like I could relate to, you know, you had a story about being scared to bring lunch to work to school because everyone would make fun of your lunch or like all the stuff. And I'm like, yeah, it's really nice to be able to be that person for people. I also will say that I think I'm also like really anti the, there's a culture among some immigrants sometimes where you move and then like you look down on people who are newer immigrants than you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I find that so prevalent in the community sometimes. And it's so funny to me. Like, you know, people will like make fun of, in the Filipino community too, like, if there's like newer immigrants than you and your family and they have an accent and they don't speak like Kiwis yet, you know, and then they have accents, you call them fobs, whatever. I find that so stupid. Like, I'm just like, you're no better, you're no worse than those people. Those people just got here a little later than you. Like, who do you think you are that you're judging, you know, these yeah. people? And so I like to think that my stand-up and my comedy can be a bridge between all the communities, you know, they can come meet in the middle and laugh at the same stuff, which yeah.
Are there any other Filipino comics that you would like,
that you like look up to and yeah. stuff? I mean, look, there's a lot of Filipino comedians in like in Canada that I really like, that I'm working with right now. There's a Filipino comedian here in New Zealand that I love. His name is David Correos. I don't know if you guys have seen his work before.
The name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's like a Billy T Award winner, you know, like he is like, he's a force of nature. Like he does very different stuff to me. Like I do stuff about like, you know, social commentary and like doing stuff about identity and culture, but he's just like punk rock. Like he's like, will strap like a knife to his head and like, you know, he does crazy wild stuff, and I love that so much because I just love seeing like other Filipino people not be stuck in the box and like be free to do whatever. Yeah. I think that's so cool. Yeah. So I love David, you know. There are a lot of other Pinoy comedians, but yeah, there's obviously like Joel Coy is like the most famous one, and I have a soft spot for him because, you know, he talks about the culture, but I know that a lot of people, maybe younger people, are like, you know, he doesn't represent my version of like being Filipino and stuff, and I think that's totally fine, you know, to each their own. But you can't talk about stand up without talking about like our most famous Filipino comic, you know. And but yeah, so there's a lot. I'm blanking right now, but I know, I think the funniest person I follow on social media who's Filipino is, do you know this person? There's a girl called Lottie B. Do you follow? She's so funny.
I remember she featured in this movie once.
Oh, she was in a film?
In a Filipino movie.
Yeah, dope.
And oh my gosh, it was the Shake, Rattle and Roll series.
Oh, she was on there.
Yeah. But
she would have been young, no?
Nah, she would have been like younger than me.
Okay.
Because I'm 22 and yep. she would have been like...
Yeah, teenagers.
Yeah. Oh my
God. She's so funny, bro. Like, I swear, like, sometimes I see some of her reels, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, this is so much fun. Like, but it's just like, yeah. And she does it mostly in Tagalog as well, which is really cool. And then, yeah, I just love that she's got that one reel where she's like, when you're in the jeepney in the Philippines, you're trying to get the driver to stop, but you're doing it in English. But you can't, yeah. She's like, driver, stop. Driver, end this now. Like, it's so funny. She's so great.
And as we wrap up this interview, would you like to plug your Aotearoa show dates?
I'd love to. So, I'm going around Aotearoa four dates. I will be in Wellington this Wednesday, I believe. Have you got the sheet there with you? The 18th, I think? Yes, I think so. Let me double check.
Man doesn't even know his own show
No,
dates.
Bro. Do you know how... Man. Especially because I like produce... Like, I like, you know, updated my own website. And I should know... Okay, 18, 19. Okay. So, I will be cut that bit out. I will be... in Wellington on June 18 on this Wednesday, and then I'll be in Auckland June 19, heading up Hamilton June 21, and then Christchurch June 26. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, so I'll be hit me up, come along, and it should be a fun time. I'm super excited to be here, to be back home, because I wrote most of the show while I was in Canada, and I did like kind of a work in progress version of the show here last year, but it wasn't like the full, you know, I had my paper on stage, I was still kind of working on it. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to come here with the finished product that I've like taken all over the world since. So
And one last question, because we'll probably be playing a song after this interview airs, but yep. are there any Filipino songs or songs by Filipino artists that you've been listening to at the moment?
Yes, big time. So I don't know if you've heard of there's a rapper from LA called Ruby Ibarra.
Oh yeah. Oof. Yeah, we played her a couple times on the show.
What
yeah.
songs did you play?
I think
Bakunawan, what'd you got? Us?
Oh yeah,
Us goes yeah. hard, bro. Yeah, yeah, Ruby Ibarra, Bakunawan is really good. She literally she recently just won the NPR Tiny Desk concert competition. Wow. So do you guys know what the Tiny Desk concert? Yeah. So she got to do a Tiny Desk. And it was amazing. So if there's anything you take away from this, go listen to Ruby Ribeiro's Tiny Desk on YouTube, because it is unbelievable, man. Especially right now, being a face of like an immigrant community in America, being able to speak to power on such a big platform is like, yeah. You know, you talk about people who look up to me as talking about this, I look up to her so much. So go check out Ruby Ribeiro.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.